Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. As Americans went to the polls this week, those who hadn't already voted, that is, my mind turned to a different kind of president. The American Farm Bureau Federation has had 11 presidents prior to current president Zippy Duvall. Those leaders built and strengthened a movement for farmers and ranchers across the country. That's not as big a deal as being president of the United States, of course, but we respect and admire the role that each of those gentlemen has played in ensuring a voice for the American farmer. The first AFBF president, James R. Howard of Iowa, was surprised to be elected. By the end of the February 1919 meeting to make decisions about structure and governance of the new organization, Howard had bought his railroad ticket and was ready to return home. In fact, another man, Oscar E. Bradfield of Ohio, expected to become president and had gone so far as to offer Howard the position of secretary of the organization. Howard said he'd think about it. Bradfield ended up serving as vice president and then the next president of AFBF. Some accounts claim that the first Farm Bureau delegates felt the choice for president had swung to Howard partly because he looked and talked like a farmer instead of a banker. That may be, but I think they were also impressed by Howard's vision. In a closing speech, he said, "The West and the East, the North and the South, have agricultural problems which are only different only in their external aspects. These problems are basically similar or identical. We need to create a national spirit in our agricultural life." What a perfect way to sum up the purpose of the American Farm Bureau. That vision of national unity is often on my mind. As farmers, we share in each other's successes and losses, and it's up to each of us to recognize that responsibility and support our fellow farmers and ranchers nationwide. Some issues may seem to be regional or local, but they can repeat themselves in other areas and have a broad impact on the agricultural community. President Howard oversaw the setting up of the first AFBF offices, worked to grow Farm Bureau membership and formation of grain, livestock, and fruit and vegetable cooperatives. He also formed the first working group of Farm Bureau leaders, a grain marketing committee, to develop solutions to the marketing problem, a term that represented farmers feeling that they had too little control over the price received for their crops or the price they paid for handling crops once they left the farm. Today, we still appoint and engage grassroots working groups such as our cattle marketing working group that met this year to develop recommendations following this year's increase in the spread between the farm price of livestock and the wholesale beef price of beef. The second AFBF president, Oscar Bradfield, prioritized and expanded on AFBF's work to get cooperatives started. According to the history books, Bradfield took his job seriously but calmly and was given to much meditation before making decisions. Anyone who's been a part of Farm Bureau knows that much meditation goes into our policy development process. That's more a result of our grassroots structure and bylaws than anything to do with President Bradfield, but perhaps some of his character remains in our organizational DNA. The third AFBF president, Sam H. Thompson of Illinois, knew that cooperative marketing was important, but he also knew it wasn't the only matter of importance. Perhaps no other AFBF president did more to broaden Farm Bureau's program of work to a wide variety of legislative initiatives, including tax reforms, rural credit, expanding trade, and authorizing construction of the Inland Waterways Transportation System. He also expanded Farm Bureau's public relations work. The last president I'll mention, so as not to go on and on, is Edward A. O'Neill of Alabama. President O'Neill saw the importance of bringing farmers in the different regions, especially the then Democratic South and Republican Midwest. President O'Neill understood that Farm Bureau would not continue to be successful if the members didn't work together and if a U.S. president only paid attention to those factions in the Farm Bureau that were in alignment with his administration. President O'Neill also headed up the American Farm Bureau at a time when rural representation in Congress was starting to shrink dramatically compared to urban representation. If Farm Bureau was going to be effective, it had to be united. O'Neill's priority and greatest contribution to the Farm Bureau movement was pulling the diverse agricultural regions together. President Duvall was preceded in his position by many great leaders who have guided the plow for good harvests. But these four men, Howard, Bradfute, Thompson, and O'Neill, gave us the foundation for our influence and impact today. The organization, the focus on farmers' economic concerns, expansion of legislative work, and the successful effort to overcome historical regional divides and unite to achieve common goals. None was more correct than another in shifting, concentrating, or broadening Farm Bureau's focus. Each, in his own way, represents the power that comes from having the right president for the right time. As our nation chooses our president for the next 4 years, I pray for the right president for the right time, and I know that Farm Bureau will continue its long history of being a national voice for farmers to the president and the administration, as well as to the Congress and in the courts. The Department of Labor announced on Monday that it will stabilize the wages paid to guest farm workers. The adverse effect wage rate will remain at 2020 rates for the next 2 years. In a statement, AFBF President Zippy Duval said farmers are committed to paying their employees a fair wage, but the existing system sets unpredictable rates that make it hard for farmers to remain competitive. The Department of Labor's decision to maintain current pay rates for the next 2 years for the majority of H-2A employers provides stability during the uncertainty created by the pandemic and trade imbalances. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Andrew Wheeler, joined by AFBF President Zippy Duval, announced a 5-year approval of 3 dicamba herbicides this week. Allison Crittenden, Congressional Relations Director at AFBF, explained that the announcement provides farmers certainty in product availability. Crittenden said that the EPA is reaffirming its commitment to dicamba for the next 5 years. This means farmers have certainty for the next 5 years that dicamba will be available to them and they'll understand clearly the parameters in which to use it. The Department of Interior announced it has removed the gray wolf from the endangered species list, signaling a successful recovery under the Endangered Species Act. The gray wolf spent more than 4 decades on the endangered species list. The population is now thriving in the lower 48 states. State and tribal wildlife management agencies will now be responsible for the management and protection of the gray wolf. AFBF President Zippy Duval said this is an Endangered Species Act success story. As of October 22nd, the U.S. accumulated outstanding corn sales to China totaled approximately 10.6 million metric tons, well above USDA's projection for Chinese corn imports of 7 million metric tons and above the calendar year's 7.2 million metric tons low tariff rate quota. Given this information, the potential for China to increase its low tariff rate quota for corn has spurred speculation about the Chinese buying millions of tons of additional U.S. corn in the new marketing year. Increased demand for corn in animal feed combined with a lower than anticipated domestic supply has pushed China to book more global corn purchases. Some analysts ultimately expect China to import as much as 17 million metric tons of corn. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.